The first reading today, St. Paul reminds us of our immense dignity, that we are children of God. Now, we've all heard that thousands and thousands of times, and consequently, it tends to go in one ear and out the other, and we just really pay very little attention to it. We can't do that. Let's put it in context. Every single person on the face of the earth is made in the image and likeness of God. The Jewish people are the chosen people of God. They are the people of God. That is an objective and generic title. Just as the governor of a state or the mayor of a city could say, all these people in this city or this state are my people. That's different from when that person goes home and looks at his children and says, these are my children. The people is just a generic thing. The pagans are made in the image and likeness of God. They are not the people of God. And they are not the children of God. So the Jewish people are the people of God. You are a son or a daughter of God. That puts you into a completely different category than anyone else on the face of the earth. And it brings you into a relationship with God that is so intimate and so profound that he actually tells us to call him Abba. Now again, we always look at that as it says right here, we cry out, Abba, Father. That's not what it says. Abba, remember, is what little kids call their dads. It's daddy. It's that familial, relational term that young children refer to their dad. I have my doubts, if you think back into your childhood, that there are many of us here who ever looked at our dad and said, Father. No, if they ask what's the name of your father, you'd put that in there, but father isn't so much a relational term. It's a more formal term. Abba is a relational term. And the only people who can call someone Abba would be the children of that man. That's why Jesus was so revolutionary when he said, Abba. I've told you this before, but there was a group of quote-unquote scholars. I mean, let's show you how scholarly scholarship is sometimes. There was this group that I would look at as not very scholarly, but they all had PhDs, and it was all in scripture. So these were people who are very intelligent. In order to get a PhD in scripture, I think you have to know 8 languages. I mean, these are not sloughs. So these guys decided to go through the New Testament, and they were going to decide, well, not just the New Testament, just the Gospels. And they were looking at the words of Jesus. And they were deciding which words that are attributed to Jesus he actually said. So 2,000 years after these things were spoken, these guys are going to sit back and try and decide which words Jesus actually spoke. So what they did is they gave each one of these scholars 4 tiddlywinks of 4 different colors. And then they would pass a can around with every word of our Lord that came up, or every little statement. And if you thought that Jesus actually said this, you could put in the red tiddlywink. If you think that he maybe said it, you could put in whatever the orange tiddlywink. And if you think that he probably didn't say it, you can put in the blue tiddlywink. And if he absolutely did not say it, you put in the black one. So when these scholars finished this scholarly work, and they literally published a Bible based on this, with the four different colors determined by these men as to which words Jesus actually said and which words he might have said, might not have said, or probably didn't say. How many words were in red? In other words, how many words did they actually decide that Jesus really spoke? One. Isn't that amazing? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John write Gospels all about what Jesus said, and St. John says all the books in the world could not contain the words and the deeds of Jesus. But these imbeciles decide that Jesus spoke actually one word that's written in the Gospels. Abba is the one word that they decided that Jesus actually spoke. Because it was so out of the ordinary, it was so revolutionary, that not even the apostles could have made that one up. So they actually attributed that to Jesus. This is scholarship. Tiddlywinks in a coffee can, and we come out with one word that the Son of God actually spoke. Amazing, isn't it? So, I guess now we can have confidence to be able to say, Jesus told us to call God Abba. Jesus is the one who is telling us, therefore, not just that this is a title, this is a relational term. God wants to be in a relationship with you. And not just a generic relationship, as he could have with anyone on the face of the earth. He wants you to be in this familial father and son or father and daughter relationship. That's what God wants with us. That's why Jesus said, or St. Paul said here, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have Jesus telling us, St. Paul is telling us, the Holy Spirit bears witness to it, St. Paul is teaching this to us. If children, then heirs, heirs of God. What's your inheritance? God. You're not going to get $1 million. You get God. That's your inheritance. God is all in all. God isn't giving you something to inherit. He's giving you someone, himself. That's what he has for you. So we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If only we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. So if we're going to be children of God, then we're going to have to deal with what the only Son of God had to deal with. We're going to suffer with him. Because we're children of God, that's the pattern Jesus showed us. But let's just bring it back to the point of your dignity. You are a son or a daughter of God. And don't take that for granted. Because as I said, the pagans are not. The Jewish people are not. They are the people of God. Only those who are baptized into Jesus Christ can be called children of God. And that baptism isn't just some empty ritual that you went through to be initiated into the church. That is what changed you. That is what brought you from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. That is what made you a son or a daughter of God. That is what put you in relationship with the Lord. Yes, it made you a member of the church, but it made something far more profound than just simple membership. It made you a child of God. And God takes that very, very seriously. So the question now is, how seriously do we take it? do we really let this sink in to ponder this? What kind of relationship God wants with each one of us and the kind of holiness to which he is calling us? Because that's what this implies. So it's something that all of us can ponder. And again, when we deal with the sufferings and struggles of life, to unite them with Jesus, because St. Paul says we're going to be glorified with him to the extent that we suffer with him. So rejoice in those things. Unite them with that of Jesus. Offer them to our Heavenly Father and show yourself to be a true child of God. Jesus talked about that too and said, well, we have to do what he did. God allows his sun to the sun to shine on the good and the bad, and the rain to fall on the good and the evil. And he said, so therefore we have to practice that kind of charity as well if we're going to be true children of God. So we look at who we are in relationship with God, then we have to look at who we are in relationship with others and recognize if we are children of God, then we need to be like him. Like him not only in the sense that we're made in his image and likeness. We have to act as God acts. We have to love as God acts. We have to do what God does because we are his children, his own sons and daughters who have the privilege. But even what the church says, the word, if you look at the Latin right before the Our Father where it says we dare to say, it literally says we have the audacity to say, because this is so revolutionary that anybody, even these crazy people who thought they can figure out what Jesus actually said, recognize this one, there is no doubt. And it's not just that Jesus said it, it is the reality that is taking place in you and me. That's the revolution that God wants, to be able to look at our own selves and make those changes to truly be the sons and daughters of the one whom we have the audacity to call Abba.